Morning is going to be from Psalm 78. Those who, Psalm 78, 1 to 7. I have to get it closer because I can't see it. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generations will know him, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn will tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. And now our youth pastor, Terrell, is going to introduce our speaker for today.
This idea of relationship with God and loving God to the next generation, right? Because let's be honest, if a church didn't do that, we would not be here. A church would no longer exist. We have seen churches in our own community that have failed to do that and are now at the precipice of closing their doors. And so a verse that comes to mind for me is, it's from my favorite psalm, Psalm 145. And it says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. For us here at First Baptist, the way we are approaching this, as you guys know since I came last year, is literally it's been just over a year. It dawned on me here on September 9th. I was in my office and I'm like, it's been a year. I've been here for a year now. But the way that we're obviously about student ministry. The way that we've approached student ministry is no longer with this idea that this is going to be a First Baptist thing only. That we are only going to do a youth group that's for First Baptist, and then Mount Forest Pentecostal, they'll figure out their thing, and Faith, they'll figure out their thing, and this church will figure out their thing. But instead, the idea is that we're going, let's all come together and do this ministry together and be concerned together about building the kingdom in Mount Forest. And so far we've been doing this for a year, and we've had churches that have jumped in partnership with us, and we've built this student ministry. And yes, we face obviously some difficulties now with COVID. We certainly, it's not like I came and was like, you know what, things are going to get real difficult real fast. It's like came, but we are figuring it out, and we're seeing God do incredible and amazing things. But it doesn't stop for us just there with the student ministries. We're also looking at new and fresh ideas of how we reach and impact young families in our community. We're working on building new ideas for our children's ministry for whenever we're able to continue with that. We've got our kids club that we do after schools on Thursdays, or we would be in a non-COVID pandemic world. But we do that not here and not in any church, but the amazing thing is, where do we do that? We do that at the school. Think about that for a minute. Think about the fact that we are allowed to run a Christian ministry at a school. And so God is working to build next-gen ministries in our community, in our church. And I personally, and I hope you guys are too, excited to see what God is going to do moving forward. COVID-19 doesn't slow us down. Pandemic doesn't slow us down. Hardship does not slow us down, because it does not slow God down. And we are going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep trucking ahead. And we're going to see God do even greater things than what we've already seen. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
I won't tell anybody that you guys spoke and said stuff out loud, okay? Anyway, so saying all that, it is my privilege to introduce a man who in his pinky finger has more passion about next-gen ministry than I have in my entire body, Matt Wilkinson. Now, Matt is the director for the CDOQ's next-gen ministries. That includes CDOQ Kids, CDOQ Youth. He's also the executive director for Camp Kwasan. Okay? So if you can't see that this guy loves reaching out to next generations, I don't know what more I can say to you other than this guy, even his degrees, the bachelor's degrees and the master's degree he has, is all in evangelism. It's in leadership. It's in reaching those generations. So this is an awesome guy, and we are privileged to have him here sharing on our 160th anniversary with us today. And I encourage you guys, after the service, go up and pick this man's brain, okay? If you're like, well, you know, I don't really see, I don't understand why we got to really pour so much into the next generation, go talk to this guy. He will explain it to you even better than I could explain it to you. On top of that, if you want to know this guy personally, Matt is married to an awesome woman named Charity. They've got a couple of kids. He unfortunately is a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but we will forgive him for that. Well, you know, you can't be wise and intelligent in everything. I say as a Sens fan. So, without further introduction, I want to bring Matt Wilkinson up here to share with us on this great anniversary of ours. Matt.
Awesome. Thanks, bro. It's wonderful to be invited to join with you today on this day of celebration, 160 years. What a milestone that is. I'd like to bring greetings from CBOQ's President Steve Barker, as well as our Executive Minister, Tim McCoy. We're privileged to have you as one of our 340-some-odd churches, ministering across Ontario and Quebec, and reaching in and making a difference in your community. Thank you for being part of this family we call CBOQ. It's through your prayers, your support, that we continue to see the mission of God move forward, to be able to see more people move one step closer to Jesus. As we begin today, I want to take you back, and I don't know if you'll remember a book, but for me, when I was in grade 4, there was a time that you get to go reading, and at that time, you could just run to the back of the room and you could grab a book. And I would always run to the back of the room to grab a book that was a choose-your-own-adventure book. It was a white-covered book that had a red line on it. And it was one of those things you got to read a couple of pages, and then it would say, "Go to this. If you want to make this decision, go to this page. If you want to make this decision, you go to this page," and you keep flip-flopping all the way back and forth through the book. And based on decisions you make, you see different outcomes of where they come. I want you to think about this as related to the church. You know, as we make decisions, as we seek to follow God's direction, we begin to say, what is next? What's the big next page turner? We have to know where we've come from, and we begin to see what is the adventure that is ahead. What is it to choose our own adventure? Allow me to celebrate with you so far the story that you have been writing already as First Baptist here in Mount Forest, and how to engage the next generation as you continue to write your adventure. Now, some of you, and maybe you may know this, that in 1858, Mrs. H.H. Stovall began gathering children into her home on Sunday afternoon for Bible lessons. The whole start of this church began with an emphasis of reaching and engaging the next generation. In 1860, a meeting was held in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Stouffville for the purpose of organizing a Baptist church. Under the leadership of Reverend Alexander Stewart, with Reverend William Muir, you became a congregation. This was before Confederation in Canada. Like, you guys are getting a good start on saying we're going to make a difference in this area. The first Baptist church met in Orange Hall, later in Temperance Hall and the Free Kirk, until the church was built on Wellington Street near the foundry of Hartley, Ashley & Company in 1884. Over the last 160 years, you've had 37 pastors, Harley and Gary Stoops, for serving the longest at 36 years. These are part of your story and highlights and page turners that set you up for what's next. You've remodeled the sanctuary multiple times, the first time in 1917, multiple times since. And yet you are not defined by one building or one location, but defined by a people who says we are going to continue to invest into the next generation. We are going to continue to be the church, the hands and feet of Jesus to our community. You see, there have been many new adventures the church body has chosen over the years, seeking to be led by the working of the Holy Spirit. Most recently, in your big page turner in 2006, you made the purchase of the former Mount Forest Public School. And in 2010, the existing church was sold, and the congregation made the move to this location. The new sanctuary opened in 2012. And you continue to think, what's next? How do we celebrate the idea of what has all been before us? If you think of a rowboat, it is important that, you know, you're looking back. You're able to see where you've come from. You learn from your history, your highs and lows, your strengths, your weaknesses. The rowboat idea is like, hey, we need to know where we've come from, and we're going to take this 160 years to celebrate this and make mention of this. But a rowboat, as you're going, is still about going forward. You may be looking back and knowing where you've come from, but the momentum is, how do we continue to move forward? The adventure is ahead. We look back, and yet we embark on an adventure that is before us as First Baptist Church. We had read together there Psalm 78. As we look at Psalm 78 together here, it says, oh, my people, listen to my instructions. We want to listen to God's word. We want to hear what it has to say for us so we can see where to go. This is where I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. It means that we need to be bold in the way that we share this. When it speaks of children, it's not just our immediate kids that we know. It goes into grandkids. It goes into the kids that are in the community around us. We will tell the next generation about his glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is a calling that we are to step into so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. And this whole idea of we are going to invest into our children, who are going to invest into the next generation, who are going to invest in the generation not yet born, is a whole model of mentoring. It's the idea of actually we're sharing life together. It's not merely just teaching. Teaching is not just the merely of the words, but it's how it's lived out. It's how it's experienced in the day-to-day. It's not just about coming to a once-a-week gathering or a program or an element, but it's seeing it lived out in the day-to-day decisions by the community and the people of God. Investing into the next generation is not simply the roles of those who are youth pastor. It's not simply for those who are involved in the role of children's ministry worker or youth worker or those that like the next generation. Believe it or not, the role to invest into the next generation to move them one step closer to Jesus is actually a calling upon everyone in the church. Whether you like the next generation or not, the church says we know a lot of things we get through God's word, and we learn a lot of things about what we're not supposed to do. That we say if we do those things, we're not walking in the ways of the Lord. But you also know that we actually are called into obedience to walk in the ways of the Lord, is actually to do some of the things that God told us to do. And if I'm choosing not to invest into the next generation, I'm actually choosing not to walk in the ways of the Lord that God's called us to be as an entire people. So challenge us to wake up and go, what is my role looking like? It may not mean a midweek Bible study or an event or a gathering, but how is my life being shared into the investment of the next generation? It may be a kid in this church, and it may be someone in the community. It may be in a place where that you work. But say, how am I the body of the church? The church is not confined here to a building. We've learned that so well over COVID, that we are the body and we can be wherever we are living out the message of Jesus. And how are we investing that in to the next generation? I've got to say, you are doing some great things here. And tracking with your Facebook group or the page, the way that you're inspiring parents of how to be able to have resources to continue to disciple the kids when we're at a distance from each other is so critical. What you're doing, the idea of bringing churches together, that we are to be known as one. When I chatted with a number of, I did a study of youth who were far from the church, disconnected, and asked them, what is one of the things that's been a hard connection for you to the church? Why do you see the church as irrelevant? They said, well, I don't even know what is the right church to go to. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, I walk down the street, and there's one that's Methodist, there's Baptist, there's United, there's Anglican, there's Pentecostal. They said, I don't even know what is the right one. I don't want to pick one because I don't want to be wrong. They're on a spiritual journey. But they begin to look at the church. The idea that you're saying, how do we work collectively together to reach the next generation? Let's major on the majors and see kids come into relationship with Jesus is an exciting vision, Terrell. It's an exciting vision that you guys have as your church. A page turner, a choose your own adventure to walk in the way of the Lord. Jesus called that they will know us as his disciples by our love. That oneness that was prayed for earlier is so important and so life-giving. So be encouraged. But let me also challenge each of us individually to think about the next generation. As you look at Psalm 78, there was a church I recently came across who, amidst lots of their own shortcomings, do clearly articulate regularly to their church that one of their key goals is to have the majority of their adults know, love, and actively be invested into the children and youth, both within their church family as well as those within the local community, and pointing them to Jesus. This, my friends, is not just a ministry strategy. It's a theological foundation for who the church is called to be, as we saw there in Psalm 78. Chap Clark and Cara Powell, two very esteemed researchers at our Fuller Youth Institute, have done an extensive study on the lives of today's teens. And what they're finding is that students are coming into faith with Jesus, walking with Jesus for the rest of their lives. To see this happen, what used to be studied is saying if we could have one adult investing into five kids, you could see them walk successfully long-term in the faith. The research is now showing that you need to have five adults faithfully committed to Jesus, actively involved in the day-to-day lives of one kid for that kid to continue on in the faith for a lifetime. I want to sink in there. It used to be if we could have one adult pouring into five kids, into a teenager, that they were those five would likely continue on daily, investing daily into their lives, connecting. Now it's flipped. You need to have five adults regularly investing into the spiritual development of one kid for that one kid to continue on in the faith. The importance of us for the whole church to be involved in reaching the next generation is saying we've all got to play a role. How can I walk and care for the next generation? So this could be the next big page turner as we choose the adventure that God has before First Baptist Mount Forest. The church is not a place where we just drop off the next generation and hope that the church leaders do a good job. Terrell, I'm sure you're going to do a good job and bring great leadership. Grateful for Dawn stepping in this interim position. Mark, thank you for invited me to be here, and your passion and value for the next generation. But it's not just on leadership. It's on all of us saying, how do we step in as parents and spiritual leaders to the next generation? How do I, as a grandparent, invest well into the next generation? How, if I don't have any kids close to me, am I looking to find connection points? How can I have someone that I can mentor and practice, encourage, maybe just be prayer partners with. Do you know that a grade 8 student and someone who is entering the years of early retirement have almost so much in common? And both say, an older generation says, well, they don't think I'm going to get their language and I don't understand their culture, and so I'm probably irrelevant to them. And a young person is going, they're probably too busy and have too much going on that they don't want to make time for, they don't have time for someone like me. Both generations are craving each other and actually can learn from each other. But they're both going, they're stepping into a new phase of life of going, what's next? Where's my identity? What would it be to be able to be prayer partners and just be praying for one another and connecting with one another and showing each other that we value and need each other? As we reach and journey with the next generation, it means being missionaries to them. It means taking time to learn their customs and to be present in their world. Being the church that engages the next generation will take serious the mission of God. The word means to be sent. The word mission means to be sent. We are sent, you and me, each one of us. Not just those who like youth, but every one of us walking to do this idea of sharing life with the next generation. This chapter shift of making that choice of I'm going to choose what I'm going to do with my life and invest it into someone else. Imagine each one of us doing this and the impact that could be for the Mount Forest area. What it could be for a young person to know that an adult believes in them and wants to walk with them. Just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, so he is sending us. John 22:20. If we are wanting to be the church is not just this building. It's you and you and you and you and you and me. As we live out the message of hope, of redemption, of justice and of grace to the kids and the youth of our community. There is anxiety at high levels. There is a suicide rate that's just going through the roof with young people. Deeply craving hope, purpose and meaning. We have the greatest hope in the world is found in Jesus. The greatest story ever told of redemption and grace. And that God continues to pursue every young person, every one of us. It's not about how we can get to God, but that God relentlessly said, I'm not going to stop pursuing you. I'm not going to stop pursuing you so much so that I'm willing to send my son to die. Because you are worth it. And he didn't die for a faceless mass of humanity. He died and rose again for you and me. For every young person to know that the God, the creator of this universe, is relentlessly pursuing them. It's not how they measure up. It's not how they can be good enough. But it's that God looks at them and says, you are my child, I'm going to pursue you and want you back in relationship with me. To know that message of hope and that it's possible is what they need to hear from us. The reality is this Generation Z is a hybrid. Young people, they're able to have music that reflects one values, academic dreams that reflect another, their friends saying something else, their religious beliefs being something different. And yet they don't see it as a contradiction. This is the hybrid reality that they live through, accepting different truths to be equally valid, even when they're conflicting, and being able to hold equally conflicting truths at the same time and embrace them and say that they're both equally true to them. It all depends on the context. So what they need is people that will walk with them, that they will trust, that they will build a church relationship, and they see the way that you live out the ways of God's truth so that they embrace that and say that is what truth is. You see, truth now is experienced. And what we know, we can go to God's word and say, this is absolute truth. Absolute authority here. To understand, to reach, and engage the next generation, a mathematical equation I give you is the depth of relationship plus the experience I have with them equals my truth. So the depth of relationship, it's absolutely important. If my friends are the ones that I'm having the deepest relationship with, the experience that I have with them is then going to therefore become my truth. So I can only be dependent if we want to have a deep relationship by helping them come to know and encounter the truth of Jesus. We need to have deep relationships with them. It's not just about getting them into a program, but how are we sharing life with them? A deep relationship, plus having experiences where they see why you choose to walk in the ways of the Lord, how you make decisions in walking with the Lord, how you make good business decisions, how you make good academic decisions, how you make good faith and moral and behavioral decisions. Helps them understand that that is the truth of the Lord and that they can embrace it and say, that is truth. That's going to be about being involved in their lives together with them. That's why Psalm 78 was so important, saying it has to be passed along. It's lived out. It's not just spoken at, but lived out in the next generation. So they then model it. I'm going to now reflect it to the next generation, who's going to reflect it to the generation after me. This generation is a world where they want to be able to lead, to create, to engage, to be motivated. Ultimately, is a place to belong and accepted. How are we meeting the next generation where they're at? Rather than where we want them to be, say, I'm going to meet you where you're at. I'm going to love you for who you are, knowing that you are made in the image of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting work at the right time, but I'm going to come and meet you where you're at. I'm going to hear your dreams. We're going to give you opportunities to lead, that your voice will matter. True community doesn't meet once a month in a highly programmed meeting. It's life on life, whole life together, sharing journeys, working through difficulties, wrestling with praxis, accountability, serving side by side. Community is true. Communion is true community with Christ at the center. So here we are. We need to ask ourselves, what role is the church going to play in the lives of the next generation? What difference can it make, and what difference can I make to be part of that journey? Young people are no longer simple observers. With a larger faith community, young people want to be involved in shaping the community that they are part of. They are the church today, and they're the church of the future. For 160 years, First Baptist has got this. It started off with a small Bible study group for kids meeting. Think of that vision. Think of what that must have been like to say, I'm going to get kids together. Would she ever have imagined that 160 years later that you would be sitting here? That you would be here? This church would be built where it is? Continue to carry on the mission of God? The heartbeat of First Baptist began was saying, we want to know kids to know Jesus. And you get to continue to carry that vision, that passion, that opportunity, and I believe one of the greatest privileges that God's called us to do is to invest into the next generation. First Baptist, for 160 years, you've kept investing to the next generation. I encourage you to never lose sight of that. Be creative, be innovative, be intentional, involved in the lives of the next generation. What would it look like if we could realize, as the hands and feet of Jesus, that we're called to be sent into the world. We get trained and equipped here to go out and bless those around this immediate community and reveal the greatest hope that's happened in the person, in the message, and life-changing work of Jesus. And the creator of the universe looked at you and me and says, I want you to join with me on that mission. That's a living legacy. As a church, we don't just have a legacy. You are the living legacy. We look back, but we move forward. Our challenge as pastors and parents, church congregants and youth workers is not to direct or drag our students to where we want them to be, but we need to guide, listen, and empower our youth and our children to experience meaningful spiritual life change, not just behavior modification, so they can impact through their ability to create, discover, own, lean, and learn. If we are to engage the next generation and see another 160 years of investing into the next generation, it will come through allowing young people to have a voice, to be empowered in leadership, to grow in their faith, to connect with the communities around you, which you guys have already committed to doing, to see the value of going out, to love, to grow, to serve. As First Baptist Mount Forest, you are a living legacy. collectively serve together. Be encouraged of your history. Look forward with anticipation to walking in step with the Lord. Always believe in the next generation. Root yourselves in God's word. Stay close to Him, but look for opportunities to expect the unexpected of how God can use you to invest into the next generation. Remember Psalm 78 as you look on to it. Maybe look over it this week. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and that they in turn will teach their own children so the next generation should set its hope anew on God. Remember your mission. First Baptist, we are a family. We are a community. We are a group of people who love Jesus and want to love people. Go and love the next generation into the kingdom. Lord Heavenly Father, I thank you on this day of celebration of 160 years. The seeds that were planted through the birth of a Sunday school in a house that 2 years later saw the gathering of a congregation that 160 years later sees a people committed to impacting the community of Mount Forest. Lord, we humbly submit ourselves to you and to your leading, to walk with you and to live out your love to the next generation. In your name, amen.
Amen.